Joining us here in the studio, we've been talking about this. Jerry Leonard took another holiday off as you got a few vacation days, I guess. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you have the microphone there. Well, good to see you. You and I love history and love to talk history. And we had you on a couple weeks ago. We were talking about some other things around Frankfort. And we thought while you had some time off, we'd get you in here this morning. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the courthouse. As we were just talking about that, I don't know if the chiller system's been in there for 137 years or not, but that might have maybe some reason that they're having some issues there. But Greg, pull that mic just a little closer to you there. I was reading, you handed me a couple articles here. Of course, a lot of people have seen your work in the Frankfort Times and on Facebook, and you've got some unbelievable photos that you've shared with me and even brought in this morning. But we wanted to talk a little bit about Old Stoney and the courthouse and the history of the courthouse, both of those structures. I was reading through one of your articles here written April 1st of just last year. I learned something new, that the original courthouse in Frankfort was on the present-day Farmers Bank area, and they built that courthouse with timber and lumber that was on the land. So they cut it down and used that to build the building. So that's pretty cool. And it literally was a log structure, right?
Right.
All right. So that's where Farmers Bank property is currently located. And not used real long time, but that was $20 to build, they said. But you said that you'd found another source where it may have been as much as $100, but still a bargain, though.
Inflation.
Right? Yeah. Inflation, absolutely. So that structure was okay for a while. When did we build the one that we currently see? That was around 1881 or 84?
The second one was built around 1837, 1838.
Okay. And then the current one that we have today?
That was 1882 when they started and finished in 1884.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the pictures you had shared with me and pulled up on your tablet there was them laying the keystone in 1884. Tell us a little bit about what is in that and what's... I guess it's just so cool to look at those pictures and see that they're getting ready to lay that cornerstone. And what was inside of that that time capsule, Jerry?
Well, that I'm not sure if that's actually a time capsule. It may just be the cornerstone. But there is a time capsule buried, I think, on Main Street.
That sounds right. Yeah. I did see that somewhere in here it was talking about a copy of the Declaration of Independence and and the Bible. I guess it's been a year since you've written it. So but there was also placed in the cornerstone were local seeds, a Bible, a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and photos of previous courthouses. As I look around Indiana and I see different courthouses, some are nicer than others, and it's amazing how... This not the granite, but what do we use? I lost my
Indiana limestone.
Yeah, the limestone. How that has such staying power? Mm-hmm. It just looks good, regardless of what year it is or how old it is. And I think that says something for that. Now, you had told me that the courthouse in Madison County was built that was basically the same layout as ours,
right?
And ours was the stuff I can't think of a minute ago.
Indian limestone.
Yes. And theirs was brick, is that right?
Limestone and brick.
Oh, a little mix.
Right.
Now, you said you've got some pictures of that. What is the... It just doesn't look as good, does it?
No.
As limestone?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that red brick, I like brick, but I think when you mix it down... But you said that they had tore that down in the mid-70s or so?
1972.
Gosh.
When they tore that down.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad. That kind of looks like the... down around where I'm from, around North Vernon. That looks like the Vernon Courthouse.
It's the same architecture, same architect as well. The only difference was the roof was peaked, whereas ours is, and it's flat.
Flat, right.
And course, the red brick.
Mm-hmm.
But the statues were the same.
Mm-hmm. Wow. One thing that I've noticed looking at our courthouse is, and I know you've been in it a lot more than I have, and probably in some different spots than I have, it's like every time you look at it, you notice something different, you know, something new, because as you get up, it's like a layers of onions. As you get up higher, like you said, our roof is flat. You can actually get up there and walk around and, you know, do things. So that's pretty cool, too. What's the highest you've been up in the courthouse? Have you been to the very tip top?
No, I've been to the dome. I'm not really too keen on climbing up to the very top.
I heard about the ladder they currently have. So, is there anything that you want to share with us from the courthouse that we currently have that you think our listeners would be interested in about the bell or anything that you've written here?
Well, the clock is still original. It's on one floor, whereas the bell's on a floor below it. And I think they've worked on it from time to time throughout the years. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just depending on what's needed to be done to it. But it's very loud when you're standing next to it.
Yeah.
I found out.
I'll take your word for that. Yeah.
It will make your ears ring.
Yeah. It came with a 2-year guarantee that it wouldn't crack.
Right.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
And still hasn't cracked.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a testament to the quality of stuff, I guess, back then.
And that company that made that is still in business, the McShane Bell Company.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
So they make bells for everywhere, everyone.
Very good. Well, they could come back here and we could give them a heck of a testimonial, couldn't we? So the Clinton County Courthouse entered in the National Register of Historical Places.
1978.
Wow. I'm glad they had the vision then to go ahead and do that. One of the interesting things I found in your article here was when they auctioned off the second courthouse, it was auctioned off to a guy named David Coulter for $300. And he agreed to have the building removed by April 1st, 1882. And in Jerry's article here, he noted the bricks from the second courthouse were used in construction of the quote-unquote new Coulter Opera House that was located on the southeast corner of Washington and Jackson, which is where Nickel Plate Flats now is. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. There were a couple other things. Yeah, we was talking about the cornerstone there. You just think of so much that's happened in that building, you know, through the years. And you think of all the parades that have went past that and all the Memorial Day services that have gone on there and everything and lawsuits and all kinds of stuff, you know. So there's a lot there. Also interesting is Old Stoney, and I know we could talk about this all day and all night. I didn't get a chance to read through this. I guess when it was first built, not too long after that, or maybe it was a while, when did they have the big fire?
1922.
Okay.
Yes.
So it had actually been standing for 30, 35 years.
Right. It was built in 1892.
Mm-hmm.
Getting my dates mixed up.
And they built it originally as what? A high school?
As a high school.
Okay. Right. So that was Frankfort High School.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know if they ever did like a middle school in there or elementary or just mainly the high school?
It was partially used after the new high school was built. They used it for some classes.
Yeah, I think it was maybe some junior high. Yeah, you're right. So they started work in 1891. As Jerry said, it was completed in 1892. And foundation of the building is made of Silverwood sandstone, while Ohio sandstone makes up most of the superstructure. And, you know, when I came to town 5 years ago, that was one of the first things I noticed. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to notice Old Stoney. Of course, now we use them for city offices.
Right.
And and the fire, I've seen photos of that, and I'm surprised they were able to save anything from that. You know, it was, of course, it was harder to fight fires back then, too.
Right.
You know, you get up a couple stories, and it gets a lot harder. So they built another high school. The central building finished and occupied in December of 1915. A new gym was added to the central building's property, Howard Hall. I've heard a lot of people talking about that.
Right.
And in 22, there was the fire. Damage estimated at $125,000.
Right.
$12,000 for the contents. So they did have, the Frankfort School Board had two options, demolish or rebuild. So I guess they had, students had classes at all kinds of different places, right?
Like Masonic Lodge, just anywhere that could temporarily house them.
Yeah, accommodate 20 or 30 kids. Can you imagine that, trying to keep their attention and back then, anyway?
And no buses.
Yeah, no buses. You're right on that. Yeah, you were walking and hoofing it. So the tunnel came with the rebuild, right? It wasn't part of the original.
Right. I'm not sure exactly when the tunnel was built. I'm assuming probably around the time they built the central building.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at least 100 years, maybe.
Right, right. So they completed that before the fire. The third floor also utilized for classes, as we said. So this is kind of what I see, some of the pictures I saw that with the fire. It kind of sat there for a couple of years, but it was in a growing neighborhood, and it used to be vacant land when it was first built.
Right.
But they discovered that they had people building buildings and homes, and you know, your population increases and stuff. So, so I guess it became outdated for high school students around 1962.
Right.
So. So in 1974, the former high school was closed, appraised for $50,000, and they say that's the cost of what it took to build it in 1892. And then, sadly enough, there for what, early 70s till when, Jerry? Just kind of vandalized and sat there for a while?
Yeah, just people broke in and kind of tore things up. And
right.
Like certain groups got together and just tried to get it back together and open it up for other use.
I'm glad they did. Yeah, I see clerk treasurer's, mayor's office, city engineer, Main Street. At the time, it was Mayor Woodruff.
Right.
And said they were able to grant, they got a grant that helped restore Old Stoney and turn it into their business building. And that's better than a wrecking ball. I certainly would agree to that.
Yeah, Mayor Woodruff was really proud of that, that they were able to turn that around and save it and use it for whatever else they can put in there.
They should be been proud of that, because Mayor Harold Woodruff we're talking about. Yeah, because, you know, that's something that had been here, I mean, gosh, right around the time of the courthouse, too, you know?
10 years later.
Yeah, two historic structures, and to have the vision to build something that big, you know, at that time, and it's always been right there, just overlooking our city. So,
and it's definitely it's a landmark. People remember it. A lot of the students that went there, the tunnel. That's
yeah,
a very
everybody
popular
talks
thing.
About that. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, NDOT, of course, is doing their work there now on 28. They're heading out east, and I found it so funny. A couple weeks ago, there was NDOT shared on their Facebook page that they discovered this tunnel. It was like this breaking news thing, you know. Nobody had ever heard of it. It's some long-lost artifact. And I start reading through the comments, and people are saying, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We all know that. Anyone who is between this age and that age can tell you a story about going down there for the tornado siren drills and stuff like that.
Well, people believe that they're removing the whole tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
They're not actually doing that. There's a section from Old Stoney that's still preserved, probably a 40-foot section, and they use that for storage. I'm not sure what the jail side, what they use it for. I know it is blocked off, of course. You know, don't want prisoners to escape.
Right.
But the part under the street, I'm not really sure what they're going to do with that.
Yeah. Shortly after that, of course, Facebook starts all kinds of rumors, and people get talking about this and that. And I think it was Mayor Judy Sheets shared a Facebook post last week, and she actually had drawn on something and said, this is staying, this is going, that's filled in, so it was totally clear there.
Oh, that's something I'd post and she shared.
Yeah, okay, yes. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You were, yeah. And then she shared it. You're right. So thank you for that because, yeah, it kind of helped me understand a little bit too. It talks here, I guess I wasn't aware of this. So 1995 is around the time that they started refurbishing it, I guess, mm-hmm. for the city. So, and it has been used for the mayor's office since then?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So you, in your article, had talked about in 2016, which is about a year before I came here, Mayor Chris McBarnes, with support of the city council, arranged for a complete renovation. So that was included repairs to the clay tile roof, masonry work, interior and exterior, and all of the windows removed and refurbished and repainted and reinstalled. Upgrades made to the heating and air conditioning and interior improvements. And it does look dang good today.
It was really impressive to see all the work that was being done.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor let me go in at the time and just gave me free rein to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
They removed all the tiling from the roof, weatherproofed it, replaced a broken tile with new,
mm-hmm.
Waterproofed the foundation.
Looks really nice,
yes.
Yeah. And I'm glad they did the roof. And, you know, it probably cost a few extra bucks to take it all off, reseal it, seal it up nice and tight, then put it back on, particularly when you go trying to find stuff to fit or retrofit an old building, you know. So the third floor can now be safely accessed on that, too. And what's on the third floor, Jerry?
It's an attic now, but back in the day before the fire, it was actually used for classrooms. They just never replaced it. But there is a ladder that you can climb up there, and there's walkways now, whereas before you had to watch where you walk or you'd be in the second floor real quick, right?
All right. Well, before we let you go, is there anything you want to share with us, Jerry, that you think is maybe we should know or is interesting? I just want to say I appreciate all your efforts and everyone else who's a history buff, you know, who wants to try to follow you on Facebook and see some of your photos.
Like to say, you know, if you are out taking pictures, take pictures of the buildings, because in 10 years they may not be there.
Yeah.
Even in your own neighborhood.
Good point.
Jackson Street, Washington Avenue, all these areas have been redone. So those pictures that were taken 20, 30 years ago are pretty important now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Shows change.
And you never know, you know, when something's going to be tore down or for the next big thing or something, you know.
Right.
Russ Casper's been listening to our conversation, and he wanted to say, he said, Dave Little worked very hard to save Old Stoney at the time, too. He said Jim Siegfried led the charge with recent refurbishments under Chris McBarnes. And, of course, we know Jim Siegfried, so appreciate that. It certainly takes a village.
Yes.
To keep things like that together. And, you know, not everyone shares our passion with the history. A lot of people, some people just, hey, let's build something bigger and
it's cheaper, tear it down.
Cheaper, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, Jerry, thanks for coming in and enjoy the rest of your day off, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take a break. We're coming right back. We've got a real treat for you this morning.